My guest on the Dan Really Likes Wine podcast this week is somebody who has this unparalleled ability to put a smile on my face, partly because she makes exceptional wine, but also because she's just one of the loveliest people in the wine world. And I'm delighted to have you with me, Erica Obermeyer. Welcome.
Thanks, Dan. It's so lovely to see you. I mean, you know that you're one of my special friends. It's amazing to share wine with you, and you've just got the passion and the energy that just brings the wine world together. So it's lovely to be with you today.
I think somebody who gets, as I'm doing now, the chance to drink world-class wine with a world-class winemaker at 9:30 in the morning means you're clearly doing something right with life. And doing it with somebody who's become a really good friend. And if I think back to our first sort of encounters, there was this slightly mumbled story. Somebody had told me about this person who'd been at Graham Beck and was then making her own wine, and it all sounded like, is this something I really want to try? And then I had my first glass of Erica Obermeyer and just fell hopelessly in love, and it has been as such ever since. But it's very easy when you look now and I think of some of the wine dinners and events we've done together, and people are gobbling down your wine and raving about it, to think that it was always thus, when of course it wasn't, because the hard work that goes into making something like this is the story that's not always told. And in your case, hard work plus one or two minor challenges along the way, which has culminated in this fabulous Erica Obermeyer brand. But it's one that, let's go back, let's say, what, about 15 years, maybe even less than that. But you're still at Graham Beck. You're part of a large organization that is deciding to say goodbye to still wine and just focus on bubbles. And all of a sudden, your future becomes a little cloudy.
Yeah, it's been a journey. And thinking back, it's actually almost 10 years ago that I started to put together the first Erica O wine. And it's just an amazing journey if I think back of all the little challenges, sometimes huge challenges. And I think sometimes you just need to focus on that step, putting one foot in front of the next, and have your eyes always focus on the bigger goal. And yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, I was part of this amazing brand, working with fantastic winemakers, a whole team that really cared about not only wine, but the whole community. And it was just more a lifestyle. So I think the confidence that I gained in my time working at Graham Beck really pushed me onto that, where you just spread your wings and you fly, and you believe so much in yourself and your abilities that doesn't matter what lies ahead, that you just tackle it day by day. And it gets tough along the way. But I think when you get every morning you wake up, and even if the day before is hard, you've got a new opportunity to do it all over again. And when you do what you love, it's easy to get up. And yeah, I always look back, and I think there's a few days in my life in a year where I still wish I worked for Graham Beck, is when I order barrels for the new vintage, and especially
watching the exchange rates, as
bottles and corks that needs to be paid 30 days after you order them, and then you know that you're going to pack them away. Those bottles are going to stay for sometimes 4 years in the cellar before they're released. But you know, it's all worth it when you uncork a bottle and you share it with people, and you just see how wine brings people together, how friendships are formed around a bottle of wine. So it's just all worth it. But it's been a journey.
You speak about needing to fly. You needed to fly because you kind of got pushed off a cliff or thereabouts. you were complicit somewhat, because there was an element of decision. But your life had changed very suddenly. And that's quite daunting, because you went from part of this Graham Beck empire, and it's a very proud and successful South African wine empire and story. And now, hang on, Erica Obermeyer, not quite as well known as Graham Beck as a wine brand. And you now have to not start from scratch and that you don't know what you're doing, but start from scratch and that you are creating a brand that nobody has ever heard of, because it has not existed until this point. For me, that's absolutely terrifying.
It is. I think when you put everything, I'm very meticulous in planning.
Yeah, and you're called a wine meticulous, yes, haven't you?
And I think I developed a rather strong OCD also, to just make something as close as perfect. And I just strive to bring the best forward in every glass of wine. But I think when you have this dream, and obviously I was faced with a lot of challenges at that time, the Graham Beck brand not continuing with the still wine. And then at that time I was classified almost blind. So I didn't have a choice to just go back and sit. And I call it my handbrake moment, where life kind of like stopped for me. And I often, when I approach a traffic light and it's red, you know, we all want to scream because I'm fashionably late every single day for everything. But I think in life, you sometimes just need to stop and not be able to do what you want. And that forces us to think about what really matters. And it forced me to think about what I really want to do. I had a fantastic career at Grainbec. I mean, on planes, flying to Dubai, and then a week after to New York City, and drinking wine and sharing the brand with amazing people around the globe. And sometimes I came back from those visits and I just wanted a peanut butter toast for breakfast, because you live the high life in five-star restaurants and eating Michelin star food for a week. So I went back to what really matters. And I think it took me back to my young years growing up.
I was thinking of that because you had a very, I say quaint, I don't want to be patronizing it, but you had a very rustic upbringing. It wasn't, I mean, you didn't even have proper electricity growing up, although for a lot of South Africans, that's not unfamiliar.
That's why load shedding wasn't that bad for me. No, I'm joking. It frustrated me even more so. But yeah, it was incredibly humble years of growing up on a sheep farm in Sutherland, in the Karoo, where it is like, you know, a fridge. I think sometimes electricity didn't bother us because we opened the fridge and it was cold inside even. Because I remember going to school and everything was frozen. The taps were frozen. You couldn't even get running water up until like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then 2 hours later it started to freeze up again. So it was incredible, but it really installed kind of like a very good habit of making nature part of your day. I'm so close to nature, and I think I managed to understand nature much better because of those younger years playing in the veld. I remember getting off, my mum gave us breakfast, and then my brother and I set out and we were playing the whole day. And obviously, if you don't have all these fancy things in the shopping malls, you take nature as your playing ground. And it was amazing. I mean, I really learned another language. So nature communicates to me, and I found a lot of energy in nature. It was humble beginnings. I remember I was 12 years old when the first TV satellite went up, and we had like a few hours a month of TV, and I can still remember those moments. So I think sometimes in life, when you don't have everything, you really enjoy the little small things, and
I tried to explain to my kids the other day, life without television. I had to drag them away from YouTube to be able to tell them about this, and they just shook their heads in complete lack of comprehension, because it is such a different world. It's a world that seems so innocent and so wonderful in many ways. Now, a world that gave you loads of resilience, which you needed, not just to start your new life, but also the blindness. And I remember that was still an issue when we first met. That was something that was, it was really troubling. And as with everything you do, you put in a brave face and you tried to laugh it off, but you could see it was a very scary time. And thankfully, that changed around, and changed around dramatically.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I only now realize the trauma that it brings to your life. Because when you lose your vision, 80% of what you experience in life comes through vision. And I think the hardest part for me was how it affected my lifestyle, my friends. I was just not comfortable. I was wearing contact lenses at that point and only managing to have them in my eyes for about 4 hours a day. And you think you haven't even kind of left the house and put on your makeup, and then 4 hours is gone. So it was a challenge. But I think also then you realize that you need to make really good use of the time that you have. So it was a challenge, and it took me nearly, I think, from being diagnosed and really struggling till the day when I finally got that 20/20 vision. It was just amazing. I mean, my world started again. So you learn that sometimes, you know, through the hardships and all of it, you just need to continue. And yeah, it's a miracle. I mean, I'm forever grateful for this amazing Dr. Attenborough. He's the best in the world, amazing guy. And you know, he thinks winemakers are very fancy. So,
and he's right. He's right indeed. You got the literal vision back, and I'm so glad. What had never wavered, though, was the metaphorical vision, and that vision of Erica Obermeyer as a brand. That said, you were still starting from the beginning, and yet in what seemed like no time at all, from someone who wasn't even terribly well known at Grainbec to the Plata New Wine Area of the Year in a flash. Loads of five-star wines. It all seemed to come very quickly, but in real life, I suspect it was a slightly slower process.
Yes, I think so. I mean, the time from 2008, the Grainbec management were thinking about how we're going to reinvent the brand. And we always knew that it was all about bubbly, although the still wine was almost double the volume. And I think I was so hungered to just get myself out into the industry, making the wines that I wanted. And I'm forever grateful for what I learned at Grainbec and the opportunities. But through all of those relationships, I managed to grow relationships with the farmers that I still to today buy fruit from. So I think also it was just, I wanted to do something that really mattered. So I thought, like, if you can't see, I think you think about life completely different. And yeah, I just wanted, it was almost like my quiet moment. I disappeared in the from almost all of the industry events, and people didn't really know where and what happened to Erica. And I went back to the vineyards where I really found my, you know, my sense of belonging. Because I think when you lose a job, being retrenched or a brand closing down, you lose your vision. You don't really know where and what is ahead. So I think it made me think about what I wanted. And I was so hungered to go and achieve that. And in a sense, the vineyards became my healing and medicine. I always said I wanted to be a medical doctor, and then I went into wine. So I'm prescribing fantastic medicine.
Yeah, you're my favorite doctor. I think this is very medicinal, as I know will be the glass we're about to try. And before we talk about the Cape Winemakers Guild story, I offered you the opportunity of opening any of the many bottles you've produced. I'm really glad you've given us this one, aside from the fact that I know it's delicious because I've had it before, but because it speaks to your guild ascension, and then just the name and the silver line. Linings. You are this natural optimist. The wine first, though. What is in this glass? Why is this the wine that you decided would be the one you wanted to put forward to the Guild as a showcase of the very best of Erica?
Yeah, this wine's very special to me. It's my very first auction wine that went on auction last year. It's of a very, very good vintage. I think 2021 is going to go down as probably topping 2015. It was such an elegant year. We had almost European conditions. So we waited for grapes for a change to ripen. And we had a few lazy days waiting for grapes before we could really get into harvest. But, you know, this wine is all about the celebration, I think, of what the Erica O brand really stands for, is to showcase the diversity of our very unique soils in South Africa. We've got such incredible ancient soils and so diverse. So it's a combination of multiple regions. It's mainly Stellenbosch Vergrof, which is very close to my heart. It's the Grainbec farm that I cut my teeth on as winemaker and then since got sold. But it also has other varieties from across the wineland. So close to Ribe Castile, there's a bit of Grenache from there. And then Old Vine Cinzo, that is our red lipstick of the wine industry. Such an amazing cultivar to work with. And then a dash of Cabernet. I'm a little bit of a Cabernet freak. I love the variety. And you know, I just came together as a wine that I wanted to put forward for the Guild. The name was also very, very touching to me. I think through my journey, letting go of my dream at Grainbec, being part of something that was so meaningful in more than just wine, in all facets of life, actually leaving your family behind, because they became everyone that worked with me were part of my family. And then all of a sudden you're faced with going your own way, your own journey, and people knew me, but in it, there was a time where I actually stopped telling people that I worked for Grainbec, because people didn't really know how to start with this brand. It wasn't Grainbec. Is it the same as Grainbec? So I think my wines are completely the opposite side of the spectrum in terms of robustness and big structured wines. I try to have them much more elegant and more terroir focused in a sense of place. But it just all came together because 2021, I moved into my own facility in Stellenbosch after 7 years of moving my stock and my barrels every year from one cellar to the next. It was the year when I had my final eye operation since 2016, my first cornea transplant. I had my second one in 2018, but then only in 2021, I could get that 2020 vision. And it was the year when the Guild invited me to join them. So it was just a such a celebration. And I think silver linings to me is just what life is all about. You always need to look at the bright side. And it doesn't matter how hard the journey sometimes is, there's always hope. And if you focus on that hope, life really becomes quite easy to go through.
You've still got to have a lot of self-belief and a lot of courage to adopt that philosophy and believe in it fully, which you do, and it shines through. And it shines through in the wine as well. And elegant is the word that leaps straight out, but that's your wine as a whole. You're not making these big, massive fruit bomb wines. You're making wine that's got such a purity of that fruit. And it's the reason why they've seriously considered 6 stars for Plata, as I had this very good authority. What about that guild as a space to move into for people who maybe aren't so familiar? This is the high priestesses and priests of South African wine, our top winemakers. And what makes it really special, I'd assume, for you as a winemaker, is the people who are the rock stars of your industry as you're studying, as you're growing up, and now the people are saying, hey, Erica, we think you are that good that we want you to be part of our club. Here's the secret handshake. Here's the password to get in through the door. And you are now one of us.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the ultimate. I think everyone as a winemaker, I remember when I started out and I just joined Grainbec, Charles Hopkins left Grainbec and I got appointed as winemaker for Grainbec. And I looked up at the guild and I was like, these are such inspirational mentors to the industry. And now to be able to be part of them, it's just phenomenal. It's such a, it feels like family. I mean, it's a group of people that has so much energy and love for the industry and for each other, always open to share whatever, if you have a challenge or you want to try something. So I think we also bring out the best in each other. To put a wine on auction and to be with the whole group and seeing how your wine is bought across the globe and people's actually competing to get this to their sellers and they're bidding on it is fantastic. But I think the work that the guild also does for the protégés and trying to get inclusivity and diversity in the industry is just so incredible to be part of something that is bigger than ourselves. And we truly leaving a legacy. So it's just amazing to be part of this esteemed group of phenomenal people and incredible winemakers.
I think the Guild is rather lucky to have you. So well done,
Thank
Guild,
you.
On a great selection. Just before we wrap up, I will face the wrath of my wife if I do not bring up the other topic that links the Obermeyer and Nicol family so closely. You've come to stay with us before. And the first time I got really excited. So this is brilliant. I'm going to have hours of conversation about wine with Erica. We're going to talk about the impact of malolactic fermentation and how different clones are impacting her choice of Syrah. And I think I got a hello, Erica, how are you? And the next 4 hours are you and my wife talking about dogs. And that is just, I now realize if Erica comes to stay, she'll bring some very nice wine. I'll go and drink it quietly on my own in the corner while you and my wife discuss dogs.
Yeah, that's true. I declared my almost close to obsession for German pointers in particular. I think my personality is very similar to the German pointer. We like to be like, we have so much energy and we just need to get the steam off through the daily job. But then when it's time to rest, we also enjoy just taking time out. But yeah, I love dogs. I've always done. Growing up on the farm, we always had sheepdogs. And I just love the way that dogs always just, they live for the moment. And I think that is the most important thing that we need to take from dogs is that they love you. It doesn't matter what you, there's always just, let's forget about what's wrong. And we just live for the moment and make the best of that. So yeah, I dedicated my second auction wine to my Rocky that passed away in 2020. And I just felt I wanted to capture in something that will stay forever. And the wine is a Cab Syrah blend that almost encapsulates her personality, you know, big, and Syrah is just the more loving side. So she was always fun and around in the vineyards with me. Every single day she went with me to the vineyards and to the cellar. So it was amazing to put a wine together. And I still have the barrel that the Rocky wine was maturing in, and I cannot wash off It's amazing. Her name's still on the barrel, and we keep it that way. So she's always around.
Oh, well, you are very kindly working with the Nicol family. We're making a wine that's about to be bottled in memory of our late bull mastiff, Stavros. I think Stavros and Rocky would have got on quite well. And I think they would have had conversations shaking their heads at these mad wine drinking owners they had. So it's a good moment to not just raise a glass in memory of Rocky and Stavros, but the new ones who come to join us and give us such enormous depth to our lives. But also to raise a glass to you, Erica, because not only have you become a great friend and you make just extraordinary wine, which you don't need me to tell you, but you've got through an awful lot in a short space of time. That smile is still very firmly in place, and it gives the rest of us a lot of inspiration. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Dan. And I just want to say, like, living the wine life, you know, it's just amazing. I'm so grateful that I get to tell the story of vineyards and people and everyone involved in the wine chain. So thank you for hosting me. And yeah, it's wonderful. And looking forward to drinking thousands of glasses still in future. Thanks, Dan.
A great pleasure. And let me finally, in closing, say a big thank you to the Graham Beck team for stopping their still wines, because if they hadn't, I wouldn't be sitting here with Erica Obermeyer drinking this beautiful Silver Linings and celebrating a quite wonderful winemaker. Cheers.